Hi, Annette. I am calling you today on another birthday. I don't know what the significance of birthdays in connection with my writing to you is, but let us leave that to imagination and interpretation. But it is my mother-in-law's 80th birthday today, and I'm in Lübeck. So one of those special moments of leaving the city in these pandemic times to travel to another city. I'm standing in her garden, and I think you can hear the noise of birds around me, but maybe also the noise of children in the background because there's a playground nearby. And so I wanted to come back to where we started, which is with a quote from Deleuze, which put us onto this path of exploring becoming. Which seems to be a sort of, not a linear process, not a circular one either, but a kind of zigzaggy condition. And it talking to you about how we might bring our exchanges to an end so that they can be put into the form of a sort of podcast. You mentioned that you had listen to your recordings before sending them to me. And I thought how that reflects the writerly impulse to revise. Of course, writing is more revision than anything else. And I really feel as though this revising and writing has become such a deep part of me that I often wish I could revise myself in life. I'm constantly going over conversations, whether public or private, and wishing I could change this or that way that I said something. It's really sort of something I suffer from, and I have to constantly remind myself that revision is the prerogative of writing more than anything else. We rarely have that possibility in life, or maybe we revise ourselves for the next time, but the time that's done is done, unlike the sentence that's not published and can be continually worked on. And I think if I was sort of speaking to you in German, probably I would also want to hear myself back because, of course, to express yourself in your second language is also, much more challenging. And the reason, though, that I started to communicate with you through this spoken medium rather than written is also that I sort of wanted to have the space in which I couldn't revise myself, in which there would be a kind of spontaneity and something a bit sort of unfinished in the way I allowed myself to exchange with you. And I also think that thought unfolds differently in writing than in speaking. And I was curious about how that unfolding might take place in audio. And of course, also, as I said, there was just the inability to actually write on paper or to type when I began to have this conversation with you. But coming back to Deleuze, there's a wonderful essay on stuttering that he wrote, and in it he talks about the writer who becomes a stutterer in language. And of course, that's a rather odd idea because we associate a kind of fluency and with good writing. But he explores this idea in a really interesting way, and he talks about a language that trembles from head to toe. And he says it's as though language was stretched along an abstract and infinitely varied line. And then he asks this question: can we make progress if we do not enter into regions far from equilibrium? And I think that's kind of what becoming is in a way, isn't it? It's that kind of destabilized zone of being where there is no equilibrium or only temporary equilibrium. And Deleuze says that this condition of expressing oneself in this way is not a situation of bilingualism or of multilingualism, because he says, of course, we can easily conceive of two or more different languages mixing in speech. I mean, those of us who move in different languages and different worlds, we know this condition well. But what he says is that the great authors do something else. He mentions Beckett, moving between English and French, and Kafka between Czech and German. And I think of contemporary writers who I think do this extremely well. I think of Adonia Shibley, Leonora Miano, Lina Meruane. And what they are doing, in Deleuze's words, is they invent a minor use of the major language within which they express themselves. And he says they make the language take flight, ceaselessly placing it in a state of disequilibrium. I really loved that, and I was so inspired by it. And I think it really had an influence on my own writing, and a wish to somehow make the hesitations, the repetitions, the stumbles, the imperfections visible in writing, the doubts, the changes of mind, the changes of position. I wanted to find a form of writing that is like being with someone as they think, watching them think, thinking with them, and sort of almost deconstructing that, and yet doing it in a way that is nevertheless, you know, a pleasure to be with. And I think that we have done a little bit of that in our conversations, because we started not knowing where this conversation would go. We didn't know each other. And we just sort of talked to each other with a time delay, which gave time for reflection. And we talked in this mode that, at least for me, didn't allow the possibility to hear myself back, but just to kind of trust that what I said and the way I said it, even with its, sort of gaps and moments of not having quite the right word, would nevertheless make sense and have meaning and value. Deleuze says that a great writer is always like a foreigner in the language in which he or she, well, I add the she, expresses himself, even if this is not his or her native tongue. And I love that idea of remaining a foreigner in your own language. I think that's something so beautiful. And it is perhaps the essence of becoming, to accept a sort of strangeness and to welcome a strangeness into one's encounters with others in the world, an element of surprise, of not knowing, of being ready to discover, to backtrack. And so I sort of end this beautiful exchange with you in the spirit in which we started, thinking not that it is an end, but simply that it is a moment of bringing to a close this part of our exchange. And I truly hope that we will get to meet at some point and walk and hear the bird song together. There were some rather loud creatures in my vicinity as I recorded this message to you. And I'm glad that there are other voices next to my voice, because there are always other voices. And to allow those in seems to me is also a way of allowing in the stuttering, this sense of many different possibilities, of which the one that one takes, or in any given moment, is simply, a contingent one based on, I don't know, whatever the circumstances are that lead you to choose. But choosing, always knowing there are other choices. Okay, goodbye from Lübeck on this sunny morning, and lots of warm wishes and in anticipation of continuing the conversation somewhere else, in some other way, but always continuing becoming.